Today's scripture is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are not fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, even with God with the recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap in his heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come with Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighting shall flee away. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day that you've given us. We give you the praise. Thank you as well for your word that is for us, for your people. Thank you for defining us. Thank you for strengthening us. And it's in the name of our Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah, that we pray. Amen. Judy and I, we moved to Phoenix whenever we first moved to Arizona. And people were amazed that we moved in June. And they kept asking us, have you been through a summer yet? Have you been through a summer yet? It was kind of like they were expecting us to pack up and drive back to Pennsylvania, leaving. Screaming, ah! We can't stand it. And I said, we moved in the middle of whenever it was getting beautiful out in Arizona, just wonderful. And we started getting very familiar with this item right here. Started carrying around water with us all of the time, sipping it, drinking it. But it was amazing to me because whenever we moved to Phoenix, it was still, at the time, a few years ago, whenever it was a boom area. In fact, in the Desert Southwest Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church, at one point, the two fastest growing counties were within our boundaries. Clark County, Las Vegas, Nevada, and Maricopa County, Phoenix, Arizona. Great boom areas. A lot of building, a lot of houses going up, a lot of people moving in, not so much anymore. But in the midst of desert, in the midst of what seemingly was a wasteland, there were things springing up, being built all over. In fact, people loved to tell me, people who had lived in Phoenix for a long time, I can remember when this street was as far north as you could go. Then there was desert. I can remember when there wasn't anything to surprise Arizona. Goodyear. We moved to Yuma. I can remember when there wasn't such a thing as a foothills. What's a foothills? There was a vision. There was somebody that was able to see the desert and recognize the possibility in the midst of that desert. Something could grow. Something would bloom. Repeat this along with me. I'll say it first, then we'll say it again. When the Messiah comes, the deserts will bloom. When the Messiah comes, the deserts will bloom. That's an important phrase to remember because it's true. It's one of the truest biblical phrases that we have. In Advent, in the season of Christ being birthed in our hearts again, coming in a whole new way, this is a profound reality for the people of God. In the dryness of life, in the desert areas of life, new life can come when we know God personally through a saving relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is a hope. That's something also that can be counted on, a truth that can be trusted. Now, certainly, we're familiar with deserts, aren't we? We don't have to go very far. Some people willingly drive out into the desert, I understand, and drive around the desert and spend a lot of time out there. Understand it's really fun, too. These things called sand rails. I'm learning all sorts of new terminology being out in the desert. But desertification is something that isn't fun. And it happens around the world as we speak. Areas that are becoming more and more dry, arid. There is the Sahel, not Sahara, Sahel Desert, that runs all the way across towards North Africa. It runs across the entire continent. And they have been suffering extreme drought for year after year after year. This affects upwards of 22 nations and millions of people. As the desert starts growing, as the land becomes more and more arid and dry, people die. People starve. You see, water there is not nearly as readily available, nor is safe drinking water there. Things that we take for granted here, things we take for granted in our own hometown, would be more precious than gold there. That's an arid place, a dry place, in a physical sense. But it's also an arid and dry place in a spiritual sense, because people are thirsting for hope as their family members are dying, as people are starving to death. People are searching for something to be able to hold on to say there is going to be a tomorrow whenever they've seen so many people around them not have a tomorrow. When we ponder what it is that our call is as the people of God, we don't have to look far to see the need and to see why it is important for us to live as God's people, those who are redeemed and ransomed, those whom God provides for more richly than we can even imagine. We have such wealth. We have such resources. How are we using them to bring forth blossoming, new life in the deserts of the world, but also in the deserts of the hearts of those who are in need? For us, the words today are words not only of hope for us, but also of challenge to be able to bless others. We have to understand that the prophet Isaiah certainly is talking about the people of God in a larger context. But Walter Brueggemann, who is a renowned biblical scholar, one of the individuals that I love to be able to read, says that Isaiah specifically is talking again and again about Jerusalem in particular, the city, the place, the location nonetheless, but Jerusalem kind of as a location, a spiritual center for the people. Temple was there. It was a place of power and glory. And so whenever he talks about the people of God, and he talks about desolation and then hope. He talks about it happening within that city. One of the things that we can know without a shadow of a doubt is that God's people are called to share with those who are in need. And whenever God's people stop being his people, the people of God, marked by his love and grace, then what happens? They start forgetting the people who are on the outside. They start forgetting the people in need. They start forgetting the people who are hurting. I'm so thankful and I'm grateful that this church family continues to be the people of God. I really am. I'm thankful for each of you, how you continue to reach out and serve others and help others who are in need, and recognize that that is a qualifying characteristic of what it is to be God's people. When we're not doing that, we no longer are his people. When we are doing it, we are his people and we're building his kingdom. So thank you. Thank you for being willing to do that. There's more work to be done though, isn't there? More work to be done. Certainly, the prophet, and chapter 35, what our brother read was an entire chapter, okay? I knew that he was capable of it, okay? So I knew he could do it, and he did a great job, and I appreciate that. But it was an entire chapter, and it was kind of a transition chapter in the entire biblical book of Isaiah. Beforehand, it talks about desolation. It talks about destruction. It talks about negative things going on. And this is a whole new kind of vision that happens. In fact, it's almost a bridge to a whole new reminder of how God's grace is available for his people. Are you one of God's people? Do you believe that? Are you open to that truth? Okay. Then this is a word of hope for you. It reminds you that not only in the desert areas physically, but in the desert areas spiritually, there can be a rebirth and a growth, a blossoming that takes place. You know, whenever I've been hiking around here in the desert, the first time I went out, I was surprised that anything grew in the desert, but it's true. And that there was life out in the desert. It's true. And then I would tell folks, family from back east, yeah, there's life out there. And they would just kind of turn up their nose like, nah, I don't think so. Nothing can grow out there. So I took some pictures to prove it. Sent it back to them. Emailed it to them. Said, yeah, look at this beautiful blossoming colors, flowers. What was really profound for me is after the first service this morning, a brother in Christ came up to me and said, you know, I don't know if you remember me, but we hiked last year. We're out in the desert. And there are some things that were happening in his heart, obviously, and in his wife's heart, because what he shared with me is that they've since been baptized and have come into a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It wasn't anything because I did. Again, remember, if it's up to Neil, he's probably going to screw it up, okay? Probably. In fact, I guarantee you that I will get one part of it or another wrong. I guarantee that. But God's grace was speaking to him out hiking, out walking around, seeing his creation. And maybe for him, you know, as he was walking around the desert, he saw this blooming and he thought, wow, there's new life there. It's surprising, isn't it? In sand when you see something growing, isn't it? I mean, does that surprise you? It surprises the heck out of me. I see that and I think, wow, how did that happen? How did that take place? I took a picture one time back east in a curb that there was a little crack where a dandelion grew up out of it. And I thought, how did that happen? I took a picture of it. So somebody's watching me standing out there, you know, they think of the poor pastor. He needs a break. He really does. He needs some time off. He needs to relax, rest. But if we forget that in the desert times, God brings something new, God brings forth a blooming, if you will, then we forget what the resurrection is all about. The resurrection, if you recall, you remember the resurrection? A time of incredible darkness. You talk about a dry time globally, worldwide. And then there's something that blooms, something profound, something that changes not only the entire world, but has changed each and every life here. God coming forward in a whole new way of power. That is what it is to have God's grace blooming. That is what it is to have rejoicing and joy and singing. That is what it is to see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God. And what happens whenever we are open to the possibility of blooming out of the desert of our hearts or our souls? And whenever I say desert in our hearts or souls or minds, I'm talking about if you've experienced the death of a loved one, if you've experienced loss of another in another way, if you've experienced disappointment, if you've experienced depression or heartache or emotional turmoil, if you've experienced physical challenges, if you've experienced any of those things, first of all, if you haven't experienced one of those things, please come up here. I want to talk to you immediately after worship. I want to know what your secret is. But if you've experienced any of those things or countless other list of challenging things in life, then you've experienced desert times in your heart, mind, and soul. So if you experience that, these words are going to speak to you. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear, keep going. Here is your God. He will come and save you. Now, if we have hope amidst the dryness, and if we understand that God promises to bless us, then we understand love and how it works. Love is something that God works in our lives when we're not even thinking about Him. Love is something that is always there whenever we're not paying attention to it. Love is something that we're reminded of whenever we think about the waters of Christ filling us. I'm not going to do what I did before. No heckling from the crowd, please. But we take a little sip of the waters of Christ. Take another sip. And the other reason why I'm not going to do what I did before is because the waters of Christ then start washing over us. Okay? When we first come to that saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we kind of take in a bit. Then we take in a little bit more. And then what happens is, as we say to God, my life is yours. It's no longer my agenda, but it's your agenda. And you know, the desert places in my heart, you're going to do a lot better, Lord, bringing something out of that, bringing new life out of that. What happens is, the waters just start washing over us. Somebody had said to me one time, I like that phrase, Pastor, God's grace washing over us. Well, that's how it works. It envelops us. It swallows us up. It just completely covers us. And it's doing that now at this very moment, actually. Where you're sitting in your seat, the waters of Christ are washing over you. God's grace is filling you. And indeed, the working of the Holy Spirit is doing something in your desert place. What happens whenever we trust God for that to take place? The next words remind us. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Where else have we heard this? John in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, has heard in prison that the Messiah had come and what he was doing. And he sent word, is this the Messiah? Jesus answers the ones who have come from John to say, Are you the Messiah? Jesus answers him with these words. I think you'll remember them. Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Do we have a drumstick over there? Is there a drumstick out? Thank you, sir. Don't go, uh-oh. I mean, it's not going to be that bad. It talks about a healing there when we're open to God's grace. Did you hear those words? Did you listen to those words? If you didn't, Isaiah 35, verses 5 through 7. Isaiah 35, verses 5 through 7. Isaiah 35. Thank you. I had an opportunity whenever I was back east, and I was just remembering about this whenever I was planning for worship last night, and I was reading through things again and praying, and I went out and told Judy, remember whenever I did this? And she said, oh yeah. It's a friend of mine who had asked me to do something that I didn't know how it was going to be possible. There was a camp for those dealing with muscular dystrophy. And she had asked me to come and participate in a special way. She asked me to come and teach them how to play drums. What I found as I loaded up my drum set that I had at that time, and any drum I could find actually, and some of these also, is that I was going to be blessed. Okay? I was going to be blessed. I found individuals whose bodies had been twisted and contorted and could only move maybe a few fingers, if that. The eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. There were folks who couldn't speak, even. And as I looked at this group of individuals, I broke up the drum set, put different pieces close to some of them that could only go like this. And then what happened was something that caused rejoicing in heaven. Now, if you heard it, it didn't sound good. Okay, it really didn't. It did not sound good. Because there were cymbals clanging, drums beating, tambourines. Some were more functional. I would say on three folks, just go ahead and hit whatever's close to you. Not another person, but a drum. And on three, they did. And they just started banging away, beating, praising God as they were doing that. The lame will leap for joy. Was it something that anybody would want to buy a CD of? No. But it was a reminder that in the desert places of those lives, of those brothers and sisters in Christ that I had a privilege of being with, and again, I had no idea what I was going to be doing, but in their lives, they taught me something. That in what seems to be dry, what seems to be arid, what seems to be broken in the eyes of the world, God can do a new thing. Amen? Amen? In fact, God can perform a miracle anytime God wants. I want you to think about, as we come into our time of discipleship right now, and I've been thinking about that group. I see their faces still to this day. I want you to think about, not just because I'm holding this drumstick, I'll put that away. I want you to think about the dry areas in your life. Okay? Maybe it's physically. Maybe it's spiritually. Maybe it's emotionally. And I want you to simply think about something blooming in that, something coming forth, a new life that can come out of that. Take a few moments. You can kind of close your eyes in this time of discipleship. And remember what the scripture says, that in the desert times, God works. He doesn't abandon us. He walks with us through those times. The living water of Christ is filling us. All these things are true. God's Holy Spirit is at work in your life right now. So what does God want to bring forward? What does God want to bloom out of a desert that you're experiencing?